We're doing in Yaakov, and we had learned the idea that a person shouldn't walk around with dirty clothing. The idea that we represent the Torah, that Rabbi Yochanan said that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't walk out with his shoes that are wormy, and a Talmud Chacham that walks outside with a stained shirt, so that's considered that he gives a bad name to those who learn Torah, or to the Torah itself. And we continue. Ravina Amar. Ravina taught the following. He said, when it says a Talmud Chacham has to be careful, so it's not just any stain. The idea is Ravad. He shouldn't walk out with some semen on his clothing. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Mavadim Ravati Asi velo pligei habiglima habilvusha. So, when it comes to his regular garments, he should make sure they're not dirty with his seed. When it comes to his outer garments, so there he should be careful. They shouldn't have even any dirt on them. That's a desecration of Hashem's name. When a Talmud Chacham walks outside and there's some any stain on his clothing. We have the following quote from Rabbi Yochanan. Ma'i dichtiv. What does the verse mean when it says, "Kasher alach avdi Yeshayahu arom biyachif"? Just as my servant Isaiah walked naked and without shoes, so too the Jews will walk into their exile. Did Yeshayah really go outside naked? The Navi is told by Hashem, "Go walk naked. It'll be a sign for the people that just like you're walking naked, they're going to walk naked." Is that really what Yeshayah did? So the Navi walked around without clothing. So he explains. Arom bivgadim bluim. Naked means naked from any proper clothing. He walked around with clothing that were completely worn out. Ve'yachef b'minalim amtulaim. The Navi Yeshayah walked around and says without shoes. It means without proper shoes. His shoes were all wormy, so he walked around with clothing that were basically not fit to be called clothing. And he was saying, just as I'm walking around in these tatters and these rags, so too the Jews are going to walk into exile. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Talmidei Chachamim nikraim Banain. A nickname for Talmidei Chachamim is Banain, builders. Because Talmidei Chachamim always have to be busy building the world. Talmud Chacham, when we learn Torah, so part of what we try to accomplish all the time is to build, to create, to help the world move forward. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, another quote from Rabbi Yochanan. What's considered a Talmud Chacham that the Halacha says you can trust him? That you can trust him, that he, when he tells you, "I recognize that, that's mine, I lost it," you can give it back. So there's a level of a Talmud Chacham that we trust him. We say when he says he can tell, we believe him. Meaning, very often you have an object, you can't tell if it's yours or not. It looks new, it looks the same. To the untrained eye, there's no difference between A and B and C. However, a Talmud Chacham develops his eye, and hopefully he can see things that others won't see. And so the Gemara says that a person can be on a level that when he says, "That's mine," we believe, even though when we look at it, we say, "How do you know? What's the difference between this and the other ones? How do you know this one's yours?" We trust him when he says he can recognize. There's a famous story. There are a few famous stories. When you walk out of the yeshiva, if you walk straight up the block, past the light, all the way to the corner, all the way to where the makolet is, right? And then you take a left. After the first house, there's a little path that leads you down to another street called Rhinus Street. And when you come out on Rhinus Street, if you look up to your left, you'll see a huge building complex that spans the whole block. And that building complex is called Maharil Diskin. There was a rabbi in Israel called Rav Yoshua Leib Diskin, and he raised funds for the orphans of Israel. His name, the nickname was Maharil Diskin. So he wrote a few works, and he was a big genius that learned Torah here in Israel. And he built that orphanage. When they were discussing moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, that was one of the complexes that were in the news. that they were contemplating whether they could make that into the American embassy here. So that complex, right up the block. So it's a very, very big complex. Now, the Ma'aril Diskin was behind the fundraising to have that orphanage. Huge, you know, like in ancient times. You have every hallway, the ceiling is twice the height of the ceiling. And you today, in that complex, you have about 7 or 8 yeshivas in that one complex. It's so big with so many rooms. So the Ma'aril Diskin, when he was walking with his students, he would look at a tree and tell them how many leaves were on that tree. So the students would tell him, Rabbi, it's not fair. You know we can't just climb the tree and count the leaves, so we don't know if you're telling the truth or not. So the Ma'aril Diskin would say, test me. And they'd say, how? And he said, go climb the tree and pick off a few leaves. I'll turn around. You won't tell me how many you picked off. And then I'll look back at the tree and I'll tell you how many leaves are on it now. And you'll compare the two numbers. You'll check if I was right. And they did. And he was. So now you'll ask me, how did he do this? And then my answer is, I don't know. There are people who are gifted and they see things differently than we do. There's a story of one of the leading rabbis in Bnei Brak that was lying on his deathbed. And they brought him a woman's cloth that the woman had checked herself and she didn't know if it was considered a color that's permissible or that's a color that could be bloody. And he looked at the cloth and he said, it's kosher. So the students outside looked at one another and they said, he's on the verge of dying. He doesn't really know. They said, we can't tell her kosher on this. So they sent it back into him. So he said, I got this already. And I said, kosher. So one of the students there said, Rebbe, how do you know you got this? You get 50 questions every hour. How do you know you got this one? So he said, he told them the number of strings that ran lengthwise and widthwise in the cloth. He said, I see, he said to the students, I see you don't trust me. I see you think I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm going to tell you exactly how many strings ran down and ran across in that piece of cloth you asked me. And then he passed away a short while later. Well, they saved the cloth and they broke it up and they counted and he got it right. So now you'll ask me, how did he do that? And the answer is, I have no clue how he did that. I don't know. I don't know. There are people who are on a different level. But when a person reaches a certain level and then they tell us, I'm telling you, I can recognize that's mine. So the halacha says, if they're on a certain level, we believe them. So Rabbi Yochanan says, what's a Talmud Chacham that you can trust him, that when he tells you, I recognize it, believe him, that if he wears his garment when it's turned around, he makes sure it's sitting correctly. So you'll ask me, what's the big deal? None of us ever walk around with our sweaters inside out. That's true, because in our society today, we're on a very high level. We're on a very high class today. Remember that in Chazal's time, you know, the Queen of England, not so long ago, used to insist. I mean, we're talking about a century and a half ago. She said that she is very careful to shower, whether she needs it or not, every half year. You know, she takes a shower, she takes a bath, whether she needs it or not. Every half a year, she takes a bath. So we don't understand what that means, that someone can be a half a year without a bath and think that they don't need a bath. But that's the level of cleanliness they lived on. Meaning, even the royalty didn't cleanse themselves so much. Their clothing, for sure, were nowhere near our level of cleanliness. People owned one shirt, one. Again, you're talking about people who lived 30 years ago. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was one of the leading rabbis in America 30 years ago. He owned one suit. He had one pair of pants, one shirt. He in his biography, they write that when he'd go out to wash his clothing, he'd wear his rabbinic jacket, because he had nothing underneath. So he wore his long black coat when he went out to the river to wash his shirt and pants, because he didn't have anything under it. Just his rabbinic coat. That's how he went to wash his pants and shirt. And the Gemara, in Moed Katan, the Gemara assumes that people don't necessarily have more than one set of clothing. There's a Gemara that says there was a rabbi that he and his wife used to share the same garment. When he'd leave the house, she had to stay home because she didn't have anything that she could wear in public domain. They had one garment for him and her. I'm saying, if you think about it, that every piece of wool has to be made, and you don't have, it's pre-industrial revolution, so every piece of thread has to be made, and every little needle has to be made, and then you actually make every garment by hand, so then every garment becomes very, very expensive. So in ancient times, people weren't careful about wearing their sweater inside out or outside in because things weren't so nice. It wasn't a major difference. And it was an exceptional person, someone who was careful that he didn't wear a sweater inside out. Because the difference between inside out and right side in was hardly noticeable. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if he's careful with the way he dresses, and he gets the nickname Banain, we saw a minute ago. Banain means people who are careful with their clothing. It also means builders. Or he's a person who's careful that he doesn't wear a sweater inside out, then you could trust him also that he's careful not to say something's his if it isn't his. Again, that was a level of astuteness that the average person didn't have, to pay attention if their sweater was inside out or not. And we'll pick up here, B'zachem, next week. Time for